Let's, everybody keep standing just for a second. Let's read Luke chapter 2. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. And to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. While they were there, the time came to give for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were all filled with fear. The angel said to them, everybody say this with me, fear not, for behold, I bring you, say the next two words. Say it one more time. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. I want to talk to you this morning briefly about good news. Everybody say good news, would you? Bow your heads. Father, we love you, and I just pray that you'd let us see Christmas as such good news one more time, that we would could not help ourselves but to spread it. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Look at somebody, say good news. Would you say Christmas is good news? You can be seated. You ever thought about what a privilege it was to that one angel, whoever he was or whoever, to be able to announce the birth of the Lord Jesus? Of all the thousands upon thousands of angels, God spoke to one angel and said, you get the privilege of going announcing the birth of the Lord. He went and announced it, and the Bible says that he went to some shepherds and announced it. And but he said this word. He said, I bring you good news. And the Bible says, I want to talk to you about that. Why is the birth of the Lord, which I'm going to talk as Christmas, why is Christmas good news? Why is it such a great news that the angel would say great news? The first thing was in verse 10, it says this. It says, the Bible says the shepherds were afraid. The angel said to them, fear not. Because right before that, the Bible says they were full of fear. And the Bible says when the angels appeared, the shepherds were afraid. And the first words, 400 years of silence. God has not said anything. He sent an angel, of course, to Mary and to Elizabeth and to Zacharias. But they'd been silent for 400 years. And some of the first words to break those 400 years of silence was God saying this message, fear not. Let me tell you one of the reasons Christmas is so good. Christmas is so great and is such good news is because Christmas banishes fear. What occurred in Bethlehem banishes fear. It takes away all the fear of death. It takes away all the fear. And the first words is fear not. It says, you can imagine Mary and Joseph, all the things they had went through, the changing of life. How Mary had been engaged to Joseph, and then the angel comes and everything is messed up. She becomes pregnant. It would appear to everyone's eyes out of wedlock. Their whole life would be messed up. She'd have to go be registered with Joseph on a road when she was 9 months pregnant. I've always said this. When you see those little Christmas cards of Mary sitting on a donkey, serene looking, Joseph leading. Let me, how many know if you're going to go 90 miles on the back of a donkey at 9 months pregnant, you're going to be sweating, you're going to have backaches, you're going to be complaining. I mean, on and on. I mean, we went to Mobile one time when Jasmine with our first child, we stopped about every 10 miles. I had to stop, you know, let her out of the car and walk and do this and that. And Mary was going through all of that. But the reason Christmas is good news is because it banishes fear. Listen to this song. Bring the lights down. Listen to this song.
to carry your son.
You may have noticed Sarah is pregnant, right? You know, and very emotional time. Isn't it great? Can you imagine that first Christmas morning when that when Jesus was born? Probably a lot like it was just portrayed. But the great thing about Christmas is, and the reason the angel said it's good news is because it banishes fear. One of the things about life is it doesn't matter what curves it throws you, as long as you know him, fear can be gone. You don't have to live in it. You don't have to give in to it. You don't have to be tormented by it. Perfect love can cast it out. When you begin to know him and love him, it takes away fear. What can the world do to me? What can death do to me? The Bible says he's promised us eternal life. Everybody say amen this morning. All right, second thing this morning, the reason it's good news is because it brings great joy. I don't know about you. What would you think? I don't know who the most important person in your life is or who do you like the best. Can you imagine if I told you in 5 minutes that person is going to walk through those back doors? You ever remember as a kid remembering how excited you were on Christmas Eve when Santa Claus was about to come? Remember all the stuff? Remember all that stuff? I don't know, go all the other, the bad stuff, but think about all the good. Remember how excited you were that night that you just couldn't sleep? You remember how hard it was to go in bed and close your eyes and knowing that somewhere between the time you close your eyes and you open your eyes, the jolly little fat man was going to show up at your house. And he was bringing gifts. He was bringing toys. And I'm going to tell you, when the truth comes out in your heart that you believe that, what if I told you in 5 minutes Jesus is going to break through the clouds and come to planet Earth? What if I told you, what if we just think about it, what if we knew that for truth, that in 5 minutes Jesus was going to show up? Just think about, you wouldn't worry about your visa bill. You wouldn't worry about what you're going to cook for lunch. You wouldn't worry about everybody's coming over tonight. You wouldn't worry about, you'd be so excited you couldn't move. And one of the things it says in Luke, look at the scripture. Here's what it says. It says, for the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of what? Say great joy with me one more time. Great joy. Can you imagine what kind of joy you would have if you knew Jesus was coming back in the next 5 minutes? Nothing would worry you. There'd be no fear. You'd have so much excitement about you. Hopefully you'd have excitement about you. But I want to talk to you just a few minutes about joy. One of the things about remembering that the Lord is coming, and Paul kept saying that the Lord's, behold, his coming is near. When you begin to live a life like that, it cannot do anything in you but produce joy in your life. If you love him, if he's your best friend, if he is the one your eyes are set upon, the idea that he's coming in the next 5 minutes throws you into complete joy. Look at these scriptures here. Let me give you a few scriptures this morning. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said, yes. Have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise? Let me just tell you something this morning. Jesus was going through the temple one time and the children began to cry out to him, Hosanna. And they began to just shout at him. And they weren't rehearsed. They didn't know what they had planned to do this. When Jesus came through there, they began to shout Hosanna. They just out of their heart began just to exalt him. And all the scribes, you know, that like the dignified praise and a little bit of clap and hallelujah, hallelujah, and all that. And they got indignant at those children because those children just without any inhibition began to praise him and worship him. And he said, have you never read that out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise? Do you know what that tells me? That tells me that literally praise has nothing to do with learning how to do it. Praise has something to do with you literally have forgotten how to do it. Let me tell you what they don't have at LSU. You go to LSU football game in a couple weeks. They don't have a touchdown, how to cheer for a touchdown school on the outside. They don't come to there. Let me tell everybody. Let me teach everybody. When LSU scores 50 points in a couple weeks, they don't come and say, "Let me teach you how to praise or how to shout when that happens." How many know when they cross the line? How many know something just inside you comes out of you and you just start shouting? Come on, somebody. I remember growing up with my dad sitting here. When we were in Tennessee, we used to watch wrestling. And wrestling used to be real back then. Not the play wrestling they had. Wrestling used to be real. And I'm going to tell you, I remember one time watching Dad and my older brother Tim. They were sitting there and they were jumping up. And they were just going at it. That was a big deal in our house growing up, was wrestling. We just watched wrestling. And you ought to have seen the exuberance that came out. Let me tell you. Out of the mouth of nursing babes and infants, you have prepared place. That means inside of you, there's something God, the Creator's put in you that you have to repress for it not to come out of you. A rooster has to repress its crow. A dog has to repress his bark. Man has to repress his praise when he knows his creator's coming. Come on, somebody. Give him a good clap off. We love him. We adore him. I'm going to tell you, Jesus one time was riding into the city of Jerusalem. The Bible says, one guy looked at the other and says, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He shouldn't be walking on dirt. And one of them took off his coat and put it down. And said, well, if you do it, I'm going to do it. He took off his coat, put it down. Then one of them says, that ain't enough. One of them began stripping trees, began to wave palm branches before the Lord. And the Bible says all the Pharisees and the Sadducees got indignant one more time. Let me tell you something. If we knew Jesus was coming back in 5 minutes, this'd be the loudest place on planet Earth. Come on. We'd be exalting. We wouldn't be repressed. We'd say he's coming. I'm going to guarantee you, when you see him your first time, whatever's inside of you is coming out. So let's do this. So why is it good news? It's because it's a good news of great joy. It brings the joy out. Jesus said one time, they said, tell them to shut up. Tell them to be quiet. And the Bible says, Jesus looked at them and says, if they hold their peace, the stones themselves are going to open up little mouths and they're going to be shout the praises of God. Come on, somebody. God said, if the humans won't do it, I'll switch over to the mineral kingdom and the mineral kingdom will worship me. You know, when you read the book of Revelation, it speaks about it. It says everything in the sea, everything under the sea, everything in heaven, everything on earth, everything in between, everything is going to sing praises to our God. And that's in the future. But right now, we alone in all the universe have the right to worship God. We alone have the privilege of worshiping him. That angel that day said, let me tell you what's happening in Bethlehem. It's going to bring great joy to the earth. It's going to bring men and women are going to be able to worship him and love him with great joy in their heart. Everybody say amen one more time. So I'm not going to let some rock worship for me. I'm going to worship God myself. Everybody say amen this morning, would you? You know, one of the keys about it says in Psalms 8, where Jesus quoted that from, it says, you have set your glory above the heavens. And then it says in verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you've perfected praise. Let me tell you what you need to do. Sometimes what you need to do is just get your eyes off nasty now and now and put them on the sweet by and by. You don't live there forever, but you just need to lift your eyesight just a little bit. When you see the glory that is, you can see the glory of the earth. You can see the sunrise and you can see all the different things in the parks and the trees and all that. But when you set your eyes above the glory, above this earth, you set your glory above the heavens. Get your eyes on heaven sometime. You know, the Bible says this, there is a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham walked this earth and the Bible says his eyes were set on a city whose builder and maker is God. When you read the book of Revelation, it tells about it. It's called New Jerusalem. You ought to read about it. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. It's so many furlongs long in the Bible, they call them that. And that's, let me just say, miles wide. It's about 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. It's a cube. We're going to live in a cube one day. But I'm going to tell you, this is not just some, this thing is unbelievable. When you begin to measure it out, 1,500 miles, if you were to put that city on the United States, it would go from Maine until the southern tip of Florida, all the way from the Atlantic Ocean, all the way to Colorado. Come on, somebody. And it's huge. And if you put it, if you think about it, it's not only 15 miles long and 15 miles wide, it's 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles high. And as far as we can tell, it's not just one level. About if you were to put it on one level and then go up a mile, put another level, go up another mile, put another, you go up 1,500 of those things. Think about how many streets are in that thing. All paved with pure gold. Come on, somebody. We are headed for one of the best. I cannot, and the Bible says there's no electricity bills. Come on, that ought to get you happy. Dipco won't send you a bill, you know, because the Bible said the Lamb is the light thereof. There won't be any heat. You don't have to have any cooling, no air conditioning, because the Lamb is going to be everything to everybody. Come on, somebody. That angel said, you don't know what you got coming. You may think there's a little baby in a manger, and you may think that's in it. I can't tell you there is. I'm bringing you good news of great joy, because it's going to change your lives completely. It'll change your now. It'll change your future. It'll change everything. Come on, somebody say amen. Give one more good clap offering. What'd you do? Come on. So it's good news, the Bible says. And then the third thing is this: Christmas is good news because it's for all people. Look at the next verse. I've skipped way over. Look at verse 10 again. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. I've kind of left him in the dark. The angel said, fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to heart. What? That includes Cajuns. Come on, all the Cajuns say amen this morning. That include everybody in South Louisiana. You know what that means? When you read the Bible, all people. You know, I told you the story. We talked about the shepherds before. But God sent only two invitations out to meet his son. He sent the shepherds, who I told you before. Shepherds were the lowest class of people in Israel. Some of them. A shepherd was not permitted to testify in court because of their unreliability. They were not the ones you'd want your daughter to marry. You don't want your daughter to marry a shepherd. No matter how much we've romanticized them now and made them, in that day they were not well thought of. And here's the God of the universe sent an angel to shepherd. Come on, it's the shepherds. You know why? Because it's good news to all people. And then he stretched from there. He went and got the highest of the high, and he got magi, who were kingmakers in that day. They were the men behind the scenes that put kings in place. I'm going to tell you, God went from the highest to the lowest to tell us everybody else, we're all in between from there to there. And God says, I bring you good news, which will be of great joy, and it will be to all people. Look at somebody and say, that's for me. Would you say, that is for me this morning? You know, the good thing about it is God doesn't, it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you've not done. The Bible says over and over that God has done it. You know, when you begin to realize that it's good for all people, there is absolutely nobody in here that the love of Christ and the birth of Jesus cannot make a difference in your life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Everybody say whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whosoever. And at the very end in the book of Revelation, the Bible says this: whosoever is athirst, let him come. Whosoever will may come and take of the waters of life freely. That means you this morning. I'm going to tell you think we're lily white sitting up here. If you knew us, most of us ought to have been in prison 10 times over. Come on, somebody. And that's not just exaggeration. Only the Lord saved us and changed us. If you knew us, I'm going to tell you the truth. In my high school annual, I was voted most likely to stay drunk the rest of my life. That is in my wife didn't like it, but my high school annual, that's what I was voted. How many know I'm a preacher of the gospel today? Come on, washed and cleansed. You know what? What do you think I did? It was because of him. And it wasn't because I was better than anybody else. It was him. It's to all people. It doesn't matter who or what or where. To all people. And then the fourth thing is, it's good news because it brings peace. You know, I remember I read, there's an old country singer called Travis Tritt. You ever heard of Travis Tritt? He's a country singer. He said before he made the big times, he said, I used to have to go to all the honky-tonks. And he said, you know, back in those honky-tonks, I'd be in places where, you know, probably halfway through my set of songs, he said the bikers would get, you know, in a fight with the cowboys, and the bikers would be heading, you know, trying to pick up the pool cues, and the cowboys would be heading toward the gun rack. And he said the fight would begin. And he said, I can't explain this. Here's what he said. I can't explain it, but he said, but we learned to do something even in the midst, even middle July. He said that the fights would start and I would start singing Silent Night. He said, sweat pouring down my face. He said, my whole band, you know, half of them are lit. He said, we just start playing Silent Night. He said, it was unbelievable. He said, the fights would stop. He said, many of those big old grown men, tears would start rolling down their eyes. You know why? Because Christmas brings peace to all men. I'm going to take Christmas. Christmas can do what nothing else can do. The birth of that baby can bring peace where you've had turmoil. You know, one of the keys, I remember one of the first things we did when I took over here, we had a situation where a young girl had become pregnant and out of wedlock and didn't get married and had the baby. And her parents were okay, but the grandparents wrote her off. Wouldn't talk with her, wouldn't do anything. And I'll never forget that. The Lord gave me a word. Said, I told her, I said, wait till the baby's born. And then I want you. And some years went by and she came back and said, I want to make up with my grandparents. I said, well, here's what to do. I said, just go near their house, park the car, send your little boy to the door. And said, that's your grandpa. And I'm going to tell you, she said, when he opened that door and that little boy said, granddad, grandpa, everything was, come on, somebody. You know, a child can bring peace where nothing else can bring peace. When that angel stood that day and says, I give you great good news of great joy, which will be peace to all mankind. Listen, this Christmas season brings peace. I don't know what you're facing today of all the in-laws and outlaws, you know, you got coming to your house. But I'm going to tell you, there's something about the peace of God that comes at Christmas time. And I remember one time they had a contest of for painters to paint a picture of peace. And there was, they had painted all these different pictures and all this. But the winning picture, when it was unveiled, the audience gasped when they saw it. Because when the veil fell, there was a waterfall that was just one of these torrent water coming over. And you could almost feel the coldness of the waterfall. And it was rocky ledges and all of this. And there were storm clouds in the sky. It was like a day like today. And there was lightning going all this. And there was just a little scrag of a tree coming out the side of the cliff. And the branches reaching out beyond the water. And right in one of the branches, a little bird had made its nest and laid its eggs. And was sitting there covering his eggs with his wings, with his eyes, sitting there in perfect peace. It doesn't matter what kind of storm you're in today. There's a child been born that brings peace beyond understanding. When that angel looked at everybody that day and said, I want to get you, got good news coming your way. You don't even understand the scope of it. But in the midst of the greatest storm you can ever have, you can close your eyes and know the wings of the Almighty is over you. Come on, somebody. Then last thing this morning, come on up, Rachel, if you would. The last thing is, it's Christmas is good news because it saves. In verse 11, it says this way. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a what? Born to you in the city of David is a Savior. You know, one of the things about salvation, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth, go ahead and bring your lights down if you would. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And the good thing about Christmas is it's all about being saved. Corrie ten Boom said one of the most interesting things I think I'd ever heard. She said this one time in one of her talks. She said, Jesus could be born in Bethlehem 1,000 times. But if he was never born in your heart, it would never do you any good. He could be born in Bethlehem 1,000 times. Every year for 1,000 years, God could have had Jesus reborn in Bethlehem. But it wouldn't have done us any good until the day comes when Jesus is born in our heart. And I don't know who you are, where you are this morning. I know some of you may be visiting, and some of you may have been here for a long time. But you know, Christmas really is not Christmas until it's Christmas in your heart. Some of you are been so busy and going, and you think, well, it's Christmas. I didn't realize it's Christmas. Been so busy and going and doing and buying and preparing and cooking and thinking and fretting, and it's never really been Christmas in your heart yet. So one of the things is that I wanted to end up this morning is, before you leave, why don't you let it be Christmas in your heart? Not just born in Bethlehem thousands of years ago, born in your heart this morning. Paul wrote one time to a group of Christians that had backslid, and he said, I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you one more time. And this morning, I can't think of a better thing to happen on this Christmas morning than you to let Jesus be born in your heart. Listen to Psalm. Be asking this morning, like Mary, how can this happen? Keep the lights low. How can this happen? And the Bible says the angel looked at Mary and says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. It will be by the Holy Spirit. And this morning, the same thing can happen to you. You may not know, I don't know what to do, Pastor. I would like to experience Christmas. All you have to do is reach out to God. He is standing so close to you. He's come by on especially a day like today. And He is wanting so much to be alive inside of you. Christianity is not just you becoming a do-gooder, where you just stop doing bad and start doing good. It's literally the life of God coming inside you. It is literally God coming and being born inside of you. You'll sense Him. In your spirit, He will come and live in your spirit. His spirit with your spirit. There'll be a birth. There'll be as real as it was to Mary. It'll happen to you this morning. Christmas isn't Christmas till it happens inside of you. Deep down inside of you. So I want you to bow your heads. And all you have to do is ask. Don't have because you didn't ask, the Bible says. All you have to do is ask. Say, Jesus, would you come and live in me? Would you take over, take control? Would you be born in me as real as you were in Mary that day? Would you live in me? Would you come and possess me? Take over, take control. And the Bible says that, what's what we call when we say invite Him into your heart. But we're talking about He just comes into your spirit man and He lives. It's more than just making some decision. That decision, what happens is a literal real person comes inside of you and begins to live. And that which you didn't have the strength to do before, He gives you new strength. Your desires will change. Your outlook will change. And you'll say, really, I've really had my very first Christmas I've really ever had. So that's about Him. Father, this morning, if those are here this morning that want that and they're desiring to have Christmas happen in their heart, Lord, you know their heart right now. In Jesus' name, would you listen to their heart's cry? Just say this with me. Say, dear Jesus, I ask you this morning, come into my life. Take over my life. I surrender all. Forgive me of all I've done. Cleanse me. Make me a new person. Come and live inside me. Be born in me this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, you know the cry, and you know the prayer, and you know what they've asked. And so right now I ask you, would you do a work in their life on this Christmas? I want everybody to stand up this morning, would you? I will tell you, the Lord is good, and all of you, won't you give the Lord a great clap offering this morning? Would you do that with me? Come on. Let's do Silent Night. Let's do Silent Night. You know what? Okay, C. Let's try C. We'll just try Silent Night and C. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy, come on, so tender. Give him one more good clap offer. Would you do that? Come on. Merry Christmas, everybody. Turn around and hug somebody real good, would you? Tell them Merry Christmas. God bless you. Hey, we'll see you Saturday night at 6 o'clock up in the fellowship hall. God bless you. Merry Christmas. Thanks for coming.